Would you take your Bibles and go to the book of John, chapter number 17, John chapter number 17. What a beautiful song that was, and what a wonderful thing we've heard this morning from the missionaries and from the everything, from the time that God has brought us together to the songs that we've sang, and what an opportunity we have to worship our Lord, right? And Missions Conference is a time to remind us that we are very blessed by getting to meet together, by hearing from God's Word, by glorifying our God through songs. And many people around the world do not have that opportunity. And it's our desire that we can send out more missionaries to continue spreading the Word of God. You know, I think if I would ask this morning, how many believe that Jesus is coming back soon? Most of you would probably say, I definitely believe it, right? You know, whether you look at the political or moral or social, whatever situation, it all points towards the Lord Jesus Christ coming back soon. And if He's coming back soon, which He definitely is, then you and I must do everything within our power to serve Him now while we can and get the gospel out while there's still time, right? We're in the book of John, chapter number 17. In just a moment, we'll read a couple of different verses here, and we'll stay in this chapter and focus here. When we started out our missions conference, and we started out by speaking about His church. Matthew chapter 16 says, the church belongs to Him, right? And we started out by speaking about His church. The church belongs to Him. The church is unstoppable. The Bible says that the gates of hell, they shall not prevail, right? And then the Bible says that we have the keys to the kingdom. In other words, the Lord has given us something, a responsibility for you and I. Well, we continued on the conference, moving from His church, going to His children. And we spoke about His children. Each of us have a response, right? We saw through the disciples, they had a response. And sometimes it was a calloused response. And sometimes it was a calculated response. But the response of our Lord, which should be our response, should be a compassionate response. And that's what He teaches us. Well, this morning, we're going to kind of conclude our time together, and then we're going to put that cherry on top, which that is called the international dinner this evening, right? And as we conclude this time together studying, we're going to go to John chapter 17. We're going to combine the two, His church and His children. Well, you know the book of John, it's a wonderful book. In fact, my family and I, we served as missionaries in Argentina, and the Lord was very good to us, and we were able to see many people that come to know our Savior. What a wonderful time it was. And while we see many people that got saved, many times they would say, well, where do I begin reading the Bible? And maybe when somebody gets saved and you've spoken to them, they look and they say, well, where do I begin? You know, they look at the Bible and they're like, you know, it's like an 1828 dictionary. You know, like, what in the world? Where do I start? You know, they get all nervous. And many times we would tell them, start in the book of John. Just a wonderful book. The book of John, it covers like almost everything that you ever need to know. It's all just packed in one book. If you were kind of divide the book, you can go from John 1 to John chapter 13 and see the ministry, the life, the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. From John 14 to John chapter 16, we see that now the Lord is preparing His disciples. He's saying, I'm leaving this world. Don't fear. Don't worry. He said, I'm going to leave a comforter with you. What a wonderful thing that is. And let me tell you, dear children of God, you and I at the moment of salvation, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, 14, and Ephesians 4, 30, you and I, the moment of salvation, we receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't come upon us and leave. As a child of God, we have the Holy Ghost that lives within us, that speaks to us, that helps us, that pushes us, and praise the Lord for that, right? We don't have to grieve as those who have no hope, right? We as children of God, we're different people. We have the Holy Spirit living with us, right? And what a wonderful thing. Well, John chapter 1 through 13 talks about His ministry, and 14 through 16, it talks about the Comforter coming. And John chapter 17, we see the Lord in the garden, and He's praying there. Well, then we move to John 18 and John 19, and we see the arrest and the trial of our Lord, that He is falsely accused, He's taken up. And then John chapter 20, He raises from the dead. And John chapter 21, He returns and He appears to His disciples, and right before He leaves, and He says, you know, He tells them what to do. And then I love that, specifically that part where He tells Peter, He says, I want you to feed My sheep, which says so many wonderful things to me. Peter was the one who denied Christ. And you might give up on Christ, but Christ never gives up on you. Amen? And He gives them another opportunity. And then He reminds us that purpose that you and I, that as children of God, let's feed the sheep, the sheep of God. Let's look for more sheep and let's keep feeding them, right? What a wonderful thing. Well, we're going to focus on John 17. And this is where our Lord is in the garden. And as He's in the garden, He's praying. Now, you remember Matthew chapter number 6, where He taught His disciples how to pray. Remember that? He said, when you pray, say, pray like this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. You know that. But this time He doesn't tell them how. This time He shows them how. I don't know about you, but I enjoy, you know, sometimes someone would tell me, do this, but I enjoy when somebody shows me what to do. It helps me a lot. I'm a very visual person. I like to see it. I like to know how to do it. Well, the Lord shows us how to pray. He shows by his own life. And when he prays, he's going to divide this up into two different parts here. So if you have a pen, would you grab it? And let's underline a couple different things this morning in our Bible of John chapter 17. And let's look how the Lord prays his church. That's who we are. His children. That's who we are. And let's see what the Lord says combining those two in John chapter number 17. Now we begin this portion right here, and we'll jump down if we could straight immediately to verse number 3. And look what the Bible says. John 17 verse number 3. As he begins here, look what it says. And this is, look at it, this is life eternal, that they, would you look at this next section here, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know what life is all about? That right there, knowing God. Knowing him in salvation, but also knowing him intimately. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, the apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, he said, that I might know thee. And the power of your resurrection. You and I, dear friends, the world must know our God, but you and I as children of God, we must walk with him intimately, daily, living for him, saying, God, I don't want to do what my reactions not be my reactions. May I please you through the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, everything that I do, right? He says, that they might know thee. This is what life is all about. Well, he goes on in verse number 4 to, he says, I finish what you've given me. And jump down to verse number 6, and here's where it really begins. So now we see our Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, 100% God, 100% man, God in the flesh. He's praying. Look what it says in verse number 6. I have manifested, this is the Lord, this is Jesus Christ speaking to God. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me. Now, who were those men that God had given Jesus? Specifically here that we're talking, the disciples, the apostles, the 12, right? There were 12 disciples. Jesus called, anyway, I won't sing it to you. But you know, there's 12, right? And these 12 that the Lord called. So Jesus, he's now praying, and I want you to imagine this. As he's praying, we pull this curtain of time back, and there's our Savior, and he's down upon his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying to his Father in heaven. Now he's Jesus, he's 100% God, yet he's flesh, and he's speaking to his Father in heaven, and he says, I am praying for these that you have given me. The disciples represent all those that are believers in Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I have followed him. I love him. You and I, those that represented by being disciples of Jesus, he's praying for us. Now look what it says here. Verse number 6. I manifest thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Look what it says. Thine they were, thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. So as the Lord begins to pray here, first of all, he prays, and this is the whole first section, the very first half of John chapter 17 that we're going to see here. The very first thing that he prays for us. He prays for his disciples. He prays for his followers. He prays for his children. And what a wonderful thing, dear friend, that you and I, as children of God, we have, as 1 Timothy chapter 2 teaches us, that we have a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, you and I don't have to do some specific thing. When I was in Argentina, every 8th of December, we have what they call the Día de la Virgen. And every 8th of December, every year, that all in South America, they'll walk, and many times they'll pray to these idols, and they'll go from, in our city, we lived in Buenos Aires, in La Plata, Buenos Aires, and they would walk from there to, from La Plata all the way to Luján, which is 60 kilometers. And on that 8th of December, they would walk, and many times they would beat themselves on the back. Some would walk up on their knees trying to pay a penance, saying, I don't deserve so much. And you're right, nobody deserves the mercy of God. But we don't get the mercy of God by beating ourselves, by praying 120 times, by doing something. No, we only receive the blessed salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus Christ, right? John 14, 6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So he's praying, and he's praying for his children. And I don't know about you, but it's encouraging when somebody says, I am praying for you. I'm carrying your name or your burdens or your needs or, you know, your stress or anxiety, whatever. I am praying. I'm taking that before the throne of God. I am praying. And that's a wonderful thing. But to know my Jesus is praying for me, that's encouraging. That helps me get through the day. Sometimes we think, Lord, I just don't know if I can do today. I don't know if I could face my issues. But we have our Savior who is speaking to God on our behalf. What a wonderful thing. But specifically in this context, what is he praying for you and me about? So grab a pen. Here we go. Let's begin our study here. He prays for his disciples. What is he praying about? Jump down, if you would, verse number 13. Look what it says. And now come I, this is Jesus, to thee, that's God, and these things I speak in the world, that they, that pronoun they is speaking of the disciples, that they might have my, would you underline that next word? They might have my, say it with me, they might have my what? Joy. Look at it. They might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What is he praying? As the Lord Jesus Christ, he's down upon his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying for you and for me. And we pull back the curtains, and there he is. He's upon his knees. He's praying to his Father in heaven. What is he praying about? Number one, he's praying that we might have, what was it? That we might have what? Joy. Say it with me. That we might have what? Joy. In other words, our Father in heaven wants to fill us, and according to Psalm chapter 16, verse number 11, that in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know what real joy is? Joy is in serving Jesus. I've lived long enough in the other part of my life where I woke up and hoped that my parents didn't find out and hoped that nobody knew and hoped that I wasn't caught. And you know what? It stinks to wake up and regret. You know what joy is? When you serve Jesus and there's no remorse and there's no regret. Amen? And he says, I'm praying that they might have joy. Now, why would our Savior pray that we might have joy? Because many, many times as Christians, we dwell so much on the negative news that's around us. We hear all these things. We worry, what's going to happen in the election? And what's going to happen this? And what if another strand of, you know, whatever comes out? And we worry about all these things that it almost steals the joy right away from our lives. The Lord says, no, dear friend, you can have joy. Dear child of God, you say, oh, I have joy. Really? Have you told your face about that one? I'm just kidding. You know, I mean, if we have joy, then let's act joyful, right? I mean, some people look like they've been sucking on a lemon half the night. You know, like, how you doing? I'm okay. You know, like, really good. That's wonderful. I'm glad you're happy, you know? Lord says, I that ye might have joy. In John chapter 10, just a few chapters prior, he said that we might have life and life more abundantly. In other words, we don't have to just know we're going to heaven. That's the greatest thing in all the world. But we can even enjoy our journey going to heaven. Amen? We can be joyful people, and God's people should be the most joyful people. Instead of looking at Hollywood and saying, they really got life, and envying everything that they have, as a child of God, can I say that real joy and real fulfillment and real riches has nothing to do with what you have in your pocket, and it has everything to do with what you have in your heart. That's joy, dear friend. Knowing that I'm going to heaven, knowing that my God is with me at every moment, knowing all that God's given me, I have joy. But he doesn't only pray that we might have joy. Look, if you would, a couple of verses up in verse number 11. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they, these are the disciples, that they may be, underline this next word, that they may be one as we are. Not only does he pray, and remember, half of this prayer right here that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to our Father in heaven, what he's praying, half of this whole prayer is for you and for me. What a blessing. But what is he praying about? He's praying, first of all, that we might have joy. Second of all, he's praying that we might have unity, that they may be one as we are one. John chapter 10, verse number 30, he said, we are one, I and my Father, we are one, right? He's praying that we might be one. Now let's be honest, dear friends. None of us are ever going to agree 100% on all the little nuances that there are. Like, so what's your favorite color of the wall? If Pastor were to come up and say, now we're going to repaint the walls in here, I need a vote from everybody. Lord have mercy, we'd have 120 votes, you know? Like, everybody would have a different vote. Even within the family, we'd have different. You know, if we were to say, all right, what's your favorite thing about the food tonight? Somebody would say, you know, I like the sweet things. Other people, I like the salty things. And some people act salty, you know? No, you know but you know, I mean, so many times, we don't agree on those, and that's okay. But as children of God, what we should agree on is that we have one Father, and that's the one we want to serve, right? We should be unified. Let's put away a whole lot of differences, dear friend, and a whole lot of little things, and let's agree together. We may never agree on the same color and on the same carpet and on the same, but that doesn't matter. What matters is serving our Savior, and all the little things are set to the side because we want to serve him, right? So he prays that we might be unified, that we might be one, that we might have the same heart, not the same heart for the little thing, the same heart of saying, I want to serve my Savior. Let's unify in that. Let's forget all the other little silly things, right? But he continues on. Jump down, if you would. Verse number 14. Look what the Bible says. I have given them thy, look at this, what it says. I've given them thy word. Would you underline that? Thy word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Over and over, as the Lord, he prays for us, and there he is, and this is the whole half of what he's doing in John chapter 17. The whole prayer is John chapter 17, but this half of the prayer, he was praying, God, I'm praying for those that you give me, all the disciples. But what is he praying for? He's praying that we might have joy, that we might have unity. And now he's praying, he said, I've given them thy word. Listen, dear friend, it is thy word that's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I can't do anything. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I have hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin again. All, it's all about that. God says, I'm going to leave you here, but I'm going to give you the manual for life. What a wonderful thing. Brother Travis was speaking just earlier, talking about the wickedness of the IKEA things that you have to put together. I am so against IKEA, possibly because I understand nothing of directions. I mean, those guys, I'm like, is this even English? You know, like, I mean, I even flip over to the Spanish section. I'm like, I don't understand that either. You're like, I get nothing of it. And putting that together, you know what I mean? I cannot understand any of that. But you know what? Usually, and as a good dad, especially when my kids were young or my wife hands me something, I'm like, I need you to put this together. I'm like, I got it. He's like, here's the instructions. Seriously, babe, come on. What do you think, I'm incapable? You know, like, come on, I can do this. And then, give me those dumb directions. You know, like, I can't see this at all. And many times that's what we do. Listen, the Lord says, I'm praying that you might have joy. And I'm praying that you might be unified. He said, but just so that you can make it through, I'm giving you thy word. God gives you the help. How do we live in a world that's so confused by all the things that are out there? Our kids are growing up in schools, all these things that are out there. We don't know how, and we got to be politically correct, and we have to be so careful. Listen, dear friend, worry less about all what the world thinks and just follow this book right here. It might be old. Some people would say, I remember when I was working years ago, and somebody said, that book is so old, it's out of date, and all these different things. Listen, dear friend, this book is still alive today. And it's got the answers for all life. Oh, there might be a thee and a thou and, you know, waketh and all those, you know. But you know what? God's word is alive and God wants to speak to you. God speaks to us through his word. We have his word. But go with me one more very quickly. So as he's praying for us that we might have joy, that we might be one, he's given us his truth. But look down in verse number 15. This one seems a little bit unique. Verse number 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. So Jesus, he's praying. There he is. He's upon his knees. He's praying to his God, the Father in heaven. He says, I'm praying that they might have joy and they might have unity. I'm praying they have your word. And he said, but I'm just praying as I do pray. Look what it says. Don't take them out of the world, but thou shouldest, look what his next word says, but thou should keep them from evil. In other words, not only does he leave us in this world, but here's the last one, as he prays for us, he helps us, he keeps us in this world. As with the ark, when Noah said, man, I mean, these torrential floods are coming down, we don't know what to do, and the Lord said, get in the ark, I'll close it, which is a sign of salvation. He said, no man, as John chapter 10, verse number 28, 29 says, you are in the hand of Christ, which is in the hand of God, and no man can pluck you out. I mean, that's the best insurance that's out there, isn't it? No man can get you out. We are far. No, we're not. We're in the hand of God, you know? I mean, we've got it all. The Lord is going to protect us. So he says, I'm going to keep it. Now, let's be quite honest. It would be easy to say, Lord, I get saved and I would like to get on out of here. No problems, no issues, no, you know, whether any criticism, any, you know, all these issues that we have in life that we have to pay for, or the, you know, all the things that we have to do. It would be easier just to go straight to heaven and be with our Lord. And he said, no, I'm going to keep you right here. But though I'm going to keep you here, I'm going to be right with you. In John 16, just chapter right before, in verse number 33, it said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Though you will have problems, and sure enough, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12, those that live godly will suffer persecution. I mean, we're going to have issues in this world, dear friend, but don't you worry about the issues. Stay close to the big one who can help you through the issues, right? God is big enough. When David walked through there and he saw Goliath, and Goliath was big, he said, don't you worry. And yeah, I mean, everybody's saying, look how big the giant. And David was saying, look how big my God is. I mean, I have nothing to worry about. Dear friend, we all have to walk through this life. We all have struggles. We all have those different things. But listen, keep your focus on Jesus. What does not change? Psalm 119, verse 89 said, thy word, it's settled in heaven. Everything here just changes and all around. But the word of God, it does not change. Keep your focus on him. So follow with me very quickly. Let's, if you would, let's remind ourselves and then let's go into the second half here. Our Lord Jesus Christ of John chapter 17, he is praying and he's praying for his children, for you and for me. What a wonderful thing. He's praying that we might have joy and we might have unity. He's given us his word and he's right with us through those hard times. But look what it says here, if you would, verse number 20. Neither pray I for these, that's the disciples, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which, look what it says, which shall believe. Would you underline that? They shall believe. There's others. He says, I'm not just praying only for the disciples, the followers, the current ones that know me. He said, there will others that shall believe on me. Look what it says here, through their word. Would you underline that word there? Through their word. What do you mean through their word? That pronoun there, he's talking about the disciples. So follow with me very quickly. Let's go right back over it. So here's our Jesus. He's upon his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. We pull back the curtain. There he is, and he's praying to his Father in heaven. He's praying that we might have joy, that we might be unity. He's praying, and he's given us his word, and he's right with us. He's praying for us, and then all of a sudden he puts a pause right in the prayer. He says, but just so you know, I'm not praying for only you guys. Like, whoa, wait, Lord. I mean, thank you for the prayer. Man, I feel better and I'm encouraged. Now I want to keep on going. He says, good. But I'm not only praying for you. Yeah, Lord, but I need more joy. Good, I'm glad you do. And I'm glad you're working on all those things. But I'm not only praying for you. Don't get a big head that it's all about you. You know, life doesn't revolve just around me. It revolves around the Lord, what I can do for him, right? And sometimes we think it's all about ourselves. Well, he says, I'm not just praying for you. I'm praying for all them which one day they shall believe. But how are they going to believe? He says, through your word. He says, one day there's going to be more people who will be my disciples. So he's talking about his children. I'm praying for all my children. He says, but let me tell you, I'm still building my church. In my church, it will be all those that will believe one day. They're all going to be part. We saw over 50, all these pictures that are in the hall that are in here, and we saw them flipping through. All those that just maybe last year, they did not know Jesus, but now they're part of the church of our Savior. Why? Because the ones that he's praying for are in the equation for what God wants to do. But God, I'm glad that there will be more that will believe. And he said, they are going to believe. And they shall believe. This is a guarantee. This is for sure. But it's going to be according to your word. But God, I mean, I know there's people out there who can witness or can learn a language, or maybe even people a better means that could give, or maybe even people that have more time and they could pray. I know all those different things, God. But I don't know. I appreciate all the prayer for my joy and all the prayer for my unity. Lord, I appreciate all that. But I don't know that I can do anything to help grow the church so that others will believe. God, that's just not me. I don't have the talent, God. I don't have the means, God. I don't have the contacts, God. I don't think I can do absolutely anything. So look what it says. And this is encouraging to me. Because sometimes I look at the fella in the mirror and I'm like, man, you got issues, dude. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. And you know, sometimes we think, I don't know it all, God. I could definitely see him or her. I could see them, God. They have talent. They can do these different things. But I don't know. And the Lord says, don't you worry about it. Because remember Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It's God which worketh in you both the will to desire, the will and to do of his good pleasure. He says, if I put the desire in you, buddy, I'm big enough to take care of it. If I put that desire, if I tell you what to do, I am big enough to follow through all the, God is, I mean, he's a God who, if he says that, if he gives you a check, buddy, he's big enough, you can cash that check, right? I mean, Lord is big enough, Lord can do this, but how, Lord, can you use me? So jump, if you would, we got just a little bit more, grab a pen right here, and let's jump to verse number 22. How, God, can you use me so that others can hear, so that others can know? Verse number 22, and the glory, would you underline that word right there? The glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. If you want to look over back at verse number 10, all mine are thine are mine, and I am, look what it says here, look, I am glorified in them. So first of all that God equips us with, the tools that he gives us so that we can get over there and we can do the job, we can share the gospel, it doesn't matter where we're at geographically, it doesn't matter what our means are or whatever it is, God wants to use us so that these can hear. But how, God, he says, first of all, the first tool that I've given you is my glory. Now hold on, doesn't the Bible say in another portion that he doesn't share his glory with anybody? And he doesn't in that sense. But here he said, God, you've given me, and God, I've given them the glory. What does he mean, the glory? That's his honor, but that's his authority. You and I, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after that you shall receive power. The authority from Matthew 28, he said, all power is given to me. I've given it to you. Man, I want you to go out there. I'm going to enforce you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to fill you so that you can go out there. God, I can't do this. And he said, I've given you the authority to go out there and do the work. And dear friend, God gives you exactly what you need so that you can get the job done. I remember years ago, we were in our first year of Bible college. We were in Argentina. We had a couple churches started, so we started this Bible college to help train young men and young ladies to be the future leaders of the area. And so we started this Bible college, and I remember one day, and everybody, you know, they seem like everybody's a little bit tired. It almost seems like what happens today, you know, like everybody, just fall asleep, like, whoa, dude. And so I decide, all right, we're good. And so I said, all right, everybody stand up. So we stood up, and I said, let's go, and we go to a park. And we go to a park, and we're all standing there, and I said, all right, everybody find a seat right here. And I thought, I'm just going to change the scenery. Jesus can do it on the side of the Sea of Galilee. I'm going to do it in a park. You know, at least it sounds like a good idea. And so I go to this park, and all of a sudden we're standing there, and everybody's around. So we're talking, and all of a sudden this rock comes flying up, boom, and it hits. And I'm like, in the world? So I keep talking, another rock, boom, and then another rock, boom. And I'm like, what in the world? And so I go over and look over the side, and there's people on the side. There's just a couple, you know, I don't know, maybe 19, 21-year-old, and they're throwing rocks at us, just, you know, trying to be dumb. And so I walked over there, and I said, yo, what's up, guys? Of course, you know, I didn't say, never mind, shouldn't go there. But anyway, it was in Spanish, so I looked at them. I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? And they're like, well, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, nobody feels like you're going to call their hand. I said, look, you throw one more rock. And I gave a threat that I probably shouldn't have given because I couldn't back up my threat. But I felt pretty empowered at the moment. I walked back over and we went down, and some of the students come over after, you know, we finished. They said, did you really mean that you were going to go down there and talk to them? And I was like, actually, I was scared to death. I wanted nothing to do with it. But at the moment, God just gave me this, like, did that really happen? Now, listen here, friend. You probably won't go down there and beat somebody up with rocks or go tell somebody, you listen to me, buddy. You know, they might end up punching you or whatever happened. You know, and sometimes we look, we say, God, I'm going to give. And then we're like, well, I don't have anything. Or, God, I'm going to let you use my kids or, you know, whatever it is. And we say something and we're like, can I really just back up what I just said? But listen, dear friend, the Lord gives us exactly what we need to do the job that he's called us to do. And God's work will never lack God's substance. God will give us what we need. We'll jump on down very quickly. So God gives us his glory, that strength. God gives us that, you know, and remember, it's him through us. That's the Matthew 5, verse number 14, that we're the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world. The light shines through us. In Matthew 5, 16, let the light shine through us that they may see your good works and they glorify your Father in heaven. It's not that we're strong, but we have him working through us so that we can do what he's called us to do. Look, if you would, very quickly, very last one, verse number 26, very last of the verse of the chapter. Look what it says here. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the, look at this next word, that the love, would you underline that? That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. First of all, he gives us that strength, that authority, that power to get over there and to do what God's called us to do. But then he gives us his love. Not just the love to comfort ourselves and say, okay, God's with me. The love that can shine through us so that other people can see it. Oh, we can talk about love all day long. But dear friend, we must, 1 John chapter 3, verse number 17 says, if you see your brother in need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, those that have and they shut up their bowels of compassion, this is what the Bible says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? In other words, if it's only talk, he says, don't you say that you love? You remember when you were younger, I remember in junior high, and you know, it's like, hey, you're pretty. I think I love you. And then that next week, I'm like, hey, you're pretty. I think I love you. You know, every, you know, you can go through and like every other week, you got somebody, I think I love you. Like, you know what that word love meant? Absolutely nothing. You know, I mean, you had to prove it. You had to back it up, right? And this is what the Lord says. Listen, if the world's going to accept me, now remember, he is praying for you and me. Oh, God, thank you that you're praying, but don't stop right here. Don't stop and be an egotistical and say, it's all about me. The Lord said, no, I'm praying for you, and I genuinely am praying that you might have that joy and that you're good. But he said, I'm not just praying. It stops right here. I'm praying to use you so that my church can grow. All these people can know about me. You see, God says there's going to be people that will believe, but you and I are in the equation. You say, God, what can I do? Listen, dear friend, let me ask you very quickly. There's many of us this morning who we can begin praying fervently. Oh God, would you send more laborers? God, would you please, may the lost come to know you, God. May you use the missionaries that are out there. God, would you please do a work right here? God, I have neighbors that don't know you. We can all begin to pray, and some of us can even go ourselves, and some of you should even consider, God, would you want me to move? Would you want me to learn a language? Would you want me to go up and start helping the Blooms in New York City? Or would you want me to use my vacation and go up and help the Canavans as they're witnessing up there? God, what do you want me to do, God? Some of you can go, and some of you can say, you know what, God, I can give, and God, I can be a part, not just my money, but my time and my talent, whatever God's given me, I can use that. But here's the thing. God says there's some that they shall believe because of their word. The Lord has a plan that he eats more children and his church grows. But how's that going to happen? You and I are in the equation. And what a wonderful thing. He doesn't leave us to the side. God's never left us to the side to sit on the bench. Most of us have went through, and maybe there was time in sports, and we sit there, and the coach is like, all right, who's in? You're like, me, me, me. And he's like, yeah. Anybody else? You're like, come on, man. Let me in the game. I hate just sitting here. It's like, cheer on your teammates. You're like, I don't want to cheer anybody on. I want to get out there and do something about it. Even if I don't know which way to kick the ball or throw it or whatever, I still want to get out there and do something about it. And the Lord says, guess what? In my line of work, every one of you that I'm praying for, every one of you get to be on the field. And all of you get to be part of the growth that I'm going to do. It's not so that we can say, look at me, man, I'm something. No, we're absolutely nothing. But what an amazing thing that the great God of heaven would choose to use you and choose to use me. The prayer of our Savior is about us, and it's about so many more. May we have a part so that others can hear. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Lord, we love you. We need you. Lord, I ask that you would have your hand upon us. And Lord, as Pastor Trent comes and he concludes our time together, Lord, I ask that you'd work in our hearts, God. We saw the goals that we have as a church to send another family out of here, God, another missionary out of here, God, and support them fully for as a member missionary. We want to support other families, God, as they go. And that requires our faith, that requires our giving, that requires us filling out that card and saying, we're going to have a part. But God, there's so much more that we can do, not just the giving part, God. But there's people all around us who don't know you. May God, we be faithful of sharing the gospel right where we're at. May we be faithful of praying and saying, God, use me and use my children, use my family, God. May I not get wrapped up in so many things that are all around me and the political, wave of things going on and everything. God, may I get focused and stay focused on you. Lord, I thank you for praying for me. And God, and I ask that you'd use me so that others can hear because I'm getting involved. We love you, Lord. We thank you. God, I thank you for this church. Bless it and use it. And God, I ask that you would encourage us, you would strengthen us, you would help us, and you would use us for your honor, for your glory. We love you, and we do thank you, God. In Jesus' precious name we do pray, amen and amen.